Making Chicken Salad this week is brought to you by Three Count Pro Wrestling Academy. Are you in Brisbane and thought about learning to be a wrestler? Well, here's your chance. Three Count Pro Wrestling Academy are based out of Beenleigh in Queensland, and they're committed to teaching the best, safest way to learn the art of professional wrestling. Hit up their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or email admin@threecountfitness.com now to register your interest, and we thank them so much for supporting the show.
Here I was blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit. And you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Welcome to Making Chicken Salad, the Wrestle Radio Australia show, where we talk about all things going on in the world of international wrestling. Lachlan Albert, and I'm joined as ever by Todd Eastman. Todd, how you doing, mate?
He's coming with his own soundboard. Jesus. Lost the internet, but I know you're doing the off break. Jesus.
Yeah, I've been planning. So that's right. We have been away for a little while. There has been all sorts of chaos going on my end between catching that coronavirus and having my internet knocked out by flooding. And it has been just chaos. But I am so excited to be back and talking wrestling. So, Todd, how have you held up these past few weeks in the world of wrestling?
Mate, I've been busy. Anyone that is a fan of Queensland wrestling, I guess, or thing would have seen that I've got a little group together again, and we're having a little bit of fun. So yeah, I've been pretty busy the last couple of weeks.
Top tier performing their hearts out. If you're in and around Queensland, get amongst it for sure. Yeah. But you know, no time to drag on about that stuff because we've got so much WWE especially news to talk about. We need to jump right into it. The Stephen A. Smith show on ESPN had Triple H, and he officially announced his retirement from wrestling. We haven't seen Triple H in the ring for a little while. And I mean, we know that he's been outside of the company recently, not working on the NXT brand as he was. So this is maybe less of a shock than it could have been. But we've seen a lot of outpouring of support from people remembering a huge career from Triple H. How are you feeling about this one, Todd?
I don't know if you watched the interview at all, but just the reasoning is completely fair. Like, it's sort of a shame that him having sort of like a farewell match has sort of been taken out of his hands now. So that's done and gone. But anyone that listened to that didn't get a chance to listen to the interview, it is up on YouTube, so you can go and check it out. But the long and short of it is he's got a defibrillator. No, I knew I was going to screw that word up.
Defibrillator.
That's the word. He's got one of those implanted. So it means that if his heart rate gets low or if his heart rate gets a little too high at any one point of time, it'll give him a shock back into normality. And I guess during a wrestling match or a wrestling angle, that could be somewhat of an issue.
Yeah, constant electric shocks directly to the heart. Yeah. Probably not what you want.
No, but I mean, you can say what you want, and there are plenty of people that are divided on Triple H in the internet wrestling community, but the impact he had with NXT, the original yellow and black brand, not only that, the impact he had as a wrestler, because there's a whole generation of young wrestlers coming up right now that grew up watching the game and grew up watching DX and Evolution and all of that sort of gimmicks. And and you can just tell by all the guys from the original NXT, even the ones that are working for AEW or the ones that got released, all showed love for Triple H, even though when he retired. So
yeah, I know that for me, when I was, you know, little and into wrestling, Evolution was huge. And I hated Triple H with a passion because he was the bad guy. And then getting back into wrestling when I was a little bit older, him as the authority holding down Daniel Bryan was the storyline that really brought me back in. So, you know, have to credit, as much as we can talk about some things that we don't like about his career. It was a very long, very storied career with a whole lot of high points that, you know, a future Hall of Famer, obviously. Speaking of which, the Hall of Fame, some of the Hall of Fame class has been announced for this coming weekend. We've got the Warrior Award being presented to Shad Gaspard posthumously. The Steiner brothers are going to be inducted as a tag team. Sharmell will be inducted by Booker. Vader is going to be inducted by Mick Foley. And The Undertaker headlining the class being inducted by Vince McMahon himself. I can't think of anyone else who could induct The Undertaker. There are a few names bigger. It was obvious he was going to be in the Hall of Fame eventually. I think now that we saw that documentary came out, that last ride where he officially said, yeah, I'm not getting into the ring again. That's it. Let's put him in the Hall of Fame straight away. So I'm really happy
with that. And being it's in Texas as well was sort of like a
perfect storm of things going on there. I think Sharmell is a great induction, personally, someone who doesn't get nearly as much love as they deserve in the world of wrestling. Obviously, the Steiner brothers and Vader are massively important to the world of wrestling, especially if you look at their WCW runs. And not enough good things can be said about Shad Gaspard deserving the Warrior Award, to the point where I've heard people proposing it be renamed the Shad Gaspard.
Which, being that Dana Warrior is presenting it, might be a bit of an issue.
Maybe not. Any particular takes on any of those inductees there, Todd?
I can't wait to hear Mick Foley's induction of Vader, because I just love Mick, and Mick's great at what he does, so... that I'm really looking forward to. I would assume that Bron Breakker will probably induct the Steiner brothers.
Do you think he's good enough on the mic to do that?
Yeah. The stuff I've seen him on NXT 2.0, he's already pretty smooth.
He's not.
When it comes to that.
So, I was just trying to get you to fall over there, Todd.
No. honestly, and as much as I love like Shad Gaspard, that will probably be my toilet break because I cannot stand Dana Warrior.
I'm with her.
I apologize for that, but I cannot stand her.
No, I'm right there with you. So let's move through WrestleMania weekend onto the NXT Stand and Deliver show, which is going to be live on Saturday, April 2.
This is going to be an
afternoon show. That's going to be... I can't even think of what time that's going to be starting in Australia. It's going to be a dark morning start, is my guess.
Yes. So
we'll run through the card here. We've got LA Knight versus Gunther. We've got Tommaso Ciampa versus Tony D'Angelo. We've got the NXT Tag Team Championships on the line in a triple threat match. Imperium defending against the Creed Brothers and MSK. The NXT North American Championship is going to be on the line in a five-way ladder match. Carmelo Hayes defending against Santos Escobar, Solo Sikoa, Grayson Waller, and another entrant to be decided on this week's NXT between A-Kid Cameron Grimes and Roderick Strong. The NXT Women's Championship is going to be up for grabs in a fatal four-way with Mandy Rose defending against Cora Jade, Io Shirai, and Kaylee Ray. And the NXT Championship will be defended by Dolph Ziggler against former champion Bron Breakker. Todd, which of these matches jump out at you?
Well, of course, the ladder match. That looks pretty friggin' stacked. For a step back into the developmental is what they've done. When you watch the show, you can tell it is like very much a developmental card, of a developmental like promotion. That looks like an absolutely stacked card, and it's
huge.
It sucks that it's going to be on that early in the morning. I'm going to have to get up for it, but it's something that I probably might do just to watch live, so I don't get the spoilers and all of that sort of gimmick. Because I mean, Ziggler and Bron Breakker, I think that is something that they sort of, because we've been off that whole time, that bringing in like Dolph to put the belt on him and all of that sort of thing, they sort of had to, because I couldn't see any other one where you could build them up to have that match, like a marquee match against Bron Breakker to win the title back sort of deal.
I really like that they are keeping Bron Breakker chasing this title rather than having him defend, because, and I think you'll agree with me here, Todd. I prefer a heel champion with a face chasing.
And he's in the chase.
Hold that title is not going to get them over. Having Bron Breakker in the chase is what's going to get people behind him. And I think Dolph Ziggler is a perfect person to do it. Someone with so much experience, someone who can teach someone like Bron in the ring. And you've also got the element of, you know, they've been able to have Robert Roode keeping that story chugging along. I think that it's a really cool move to have Dolph come back down. I think it would have been incredible 3 years ago. But I also think that, you know, I'm not going to complain about it happening now. A match that I'm going to point out there is that tag team championship triple threat. Tag team titles have always been a highlight in NXT. They are a great, great tag division historically. We know that Imperium are good. The Creed brothers coming out of that Dusty Classic and MSK have been, you know, great for as long as they've been in NXT. That match has my single favorite person that is in NXT. And he's not a wrestler. It's the manager. Right. Is having Malcolm Bivens there is just, he is my favorite thing on WWE TV at the moment.
And by the way, so funny. Like, side note, Mikey JC managers can wear tracksuits. Anyway, move on.
There we go. Malcolm Bivens is, I heard someone say, I believe that it might have been on the Wrestle Me podcast. They were saying that if you ever look at Malcolm Bivens, he is always doing a different expression to the last time you looked, and it's always the right expression. His facials are incredible. That match is going to be an absolute banger in terms of there's the speed, there's the technical, it's all going in there, and having Bivens react to it is going to be a delight.
And that's the thing that, as someone who is a manager like me, you always got to remember to try and sell the moves as much as what the guys are selling them. Because otherwise, if you're not doing that, then if you don't look like you're believing it's happening, then the crowd around you are going to see that and go, oh, if he's not into it, then why should I be into it as well? So that's something he does do really well. It's refreshing to see someone actually use like an actual manager, not like in like, I don't want to say like I'm slamming it, but with AEW, their managers aren't really managers; they're more just mascots, except for Tully.
They're people
for a few,
that stand on the outside.
Yeah, exactly. Like Tully, for a few times, he did do what a manager is supposed to do, but by and large, and I guess Dan Lambert for a certain thing, he does it as well, but by and large, they're just mascots by the look of it. And even when you've got someone like Orange Cassidy and Danhausen standing ringside, they're still the same as well. They don't really get involved in the match. Well, I suppose because they're faces, so they wouldn't. But you get my drift. It's like,
it feels like the point of, with AEW, they try really, really hard to focus on the in-ring product exclusively. And so there's the desire to not have a DQ finish, not have, you know, people come in and interrupt the match when the ref's back's turned. And I think that, again, and we've said this before, that's one of the tools that you have as at your disposal when you're putting together a wrestling show.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And I understand that they go, WWE is over-reliant on it, so we don't want to use it. But there's an amount you can have that works. And I think that, yeah, we don't see those. And look, we don't even see that many managers in WWE at the moment. Other than Heyman and Stokely, there really isn't anyone managing
and
fully as a manager.
And Heyman, when do you see Heyman actually get involved in a match?
So rarely.
Rarely. Like the only time I can remember in the past, God knows how long, was when he threw that belt in between Brock and Roman. That's probably the only time I can remember him actually getting involved in a match.
But he's been important to the Rock Roman, the Brock Roman storyline. Did I say Rock Roman?
You did, mate.
The Brock and Roman storyline. It's so important that he's there. He is part of the storytelling. His movement back and forth between them. You know, and regardless of that, again, he's got the same thing Stokely has, where he is constantly reacting to what's going on in the ring.
Yes.
If you, and I think this is brilliant, if you've got someone who isn't a huge wrestling fan, they can look at Roman and they can look at Heyman and know how they should be reacting. Yep. Boy, I'm out of practice, aren't I? Talk about red rust. This is Mike Rust all the way. So with that, look, is there any other matches you want to mention there before we move on to the big show?
I'm interested to see LA Knight Gunther, just for the fact that it is a very much a clash of styles. Hmm. Whereas Gunther is very much that almost strong style, like old school NXT sort of worker.
And break your ribs with a chop.
Yeah, whereas LA Knight is very much sports entertainment, if you know what I mean. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes too.
And I think that might be, I think LA Knight's place in NXT at the moment, about taking it more developmental, he is no spring chicken. You know, not that he's old, but he's been around. And he is really sports entertainment. So it's almost like he's filling the same role that Ziggler is at the moment, where he's going, hey, let's show what a match that goes on WWE TV should look like, right? He hasn't been on the WWE TV, but you put Gunther against him, you go, okay, this is what a Gunther match will look like if he moves up to SmackDown or Raw.
Yeah. But see, like, Knight is a guy too where, like, really, if they'd have went full bore into him as a heel, he could have been someone that Bron Breakker was chasing for that title. 100%. Because he can talk. And he, like, he talks his ass off to the point where I think that's almost what turned him face, is just that, yeah, let me talk to you. Yeah, that all of that sort of thing is really, and it worked when he was who was he in NXT? Impact. I forget what his name was now. But you know what I mean though. When
he was there doing all that, because I can't remember his name.
It's gonna annoy you if you don't do.
Yeah, it's gonna infuriate Eli Drake. There we go.
Eli Drake, yes. That's right. Eli Drake. Yeah.
Yes, so good. Anyway, let's talk about what's going on the biggest show of the year. WrestleMania. We've got night one is going to have the team of Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland. It's going to have the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos, defending their titles against Nakamura and Boogs. We're going to have Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin in the feud that never ends. It's going to be Rey and Dominic Mysterio versus The Miz and Logan Paul. We're going to have Seth Rollins versus an opponent of Vince McMahon's choosing, who we are all thinking that we can predict. Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch is going to defend her title against Bianca Belair.
It'll be Austin Theory.
Austin Theory, obviously. the SmackDown Women's Championship is getting defended with Charlotte Flair coming up against Ronda Rousey. And in apparently the main event, the KO show is going to feature special guest Stone Cold Steve Austin. Considering this is only half of WrestleMania, this is a huge card.
Yeah. This sounds terrible. I was thinking about today because I've watched snippets of Raw. I haven't actually watched the full thing yet. Do you think, and this is just me throwing this out here, everyone thinks Cody Rhodes is going to be this opponent for Seth, right?
Yep.
What if it's The Undertaker doing a squash like he did against John Cena?
Not going to happen. Not to poo-poo your idea, Todd. Taker's not getting in the ring again. It's not going to happen.
I'm just saying, what is one way? Everyone is expecting it to be Cody Rhodes, right? So if they choose any other wrestler in the world, they will boo the shit out of it.
Yep.
Right? Except if they hear that boom, they'll lose their shit. And what's WrestleMania? WrestleMania is moments.
All right, you want a moment? I've got a moment for you when the crowd hears a noise. Seth comes out. Vince has chosen his opponent. The lights go down. Bling! The strum of a guitar as everyone prepares to walk with Elias. If you want to get someone booed, that's the way to do it. You put a heel in that situation. And then, look, I think Cody shows up. I think Cody shows up on Mania. But I think that this is setting up for a swerve. I don't think that it's going to be Rollins versus Rhodes, unless something happens on night one and that match gets added to night two or something like that.
This is something that, and I know you listened to it when I was talking to WrestleBrainia. Thank you. Oh, my Lord. See, I'm just as good as you. I'm doing great.
Like Russ, baby.
Yes. When I was talking to Jeff from WrestleBrainia, the idea I had was you have the KO show, Steve Austin and him break down into a bit of a brawl. Seth comes in and interferes. Cody Rhodes comes in to make the save. And that's what sets up a match for the next night. Well, not even a tag team, just the match for the next night, Seth and Cody. But obviously, being that they've already... they've done this whole bit with which I know people are sort of shitting on it, that the segment, I actually didn't mind it. I thought it was pretty funny. Just the way of like, so you went through Pierce and what's the name? And so why didn't you just ask me?
Yeah.
Is what? And just the way Seth stops, like, I didn't think about that. He's like,
what? I should have asked Vince.
Yeah, you wanted a WrestleMania match. Why didn't you just ask me? Just the concept of that, I'm like, you know what? He's not fucking wrong. Why wouldn't you just ask Vince?
If you're Seth,
yeah,
like yeah.
Why wouldn't you just ask Vince? That and like my other going away takeaway thing from, because I've watched the two promos between like the Lesnar promo and the Roman Reigns promo in this Go Home Raw, and I actually really enjoyed it. That's the first time I've seen Lesnar as a very likable character. That I don't know if you've seen it yet. But it was a very, he was just like, he was happy. It was a happy, like he encouraged them to do the Austin chant and did a little bit of an Austin what through it. I'm like, who is this guy? And like, if he could talk like this the whole time, no wonder Paul Heyman told him to shut up because he was going to lose the job.
I don't think he could talk like this the whole time. I think, and again, this is just me speculating, but I think he's happy right now with what he's doing. And I think that makes a world of difference in an industry like this, right? If you look at any past run of Brock, he is doing the math to work out how we can make the most money. How do I make it so that UFC wants me back and wants to offer me a bigger contract so then I can come back here? Whereas now he's come out and said, look, UFC is a young man's game. It's not for me anymore. I'm in this wrestling thing. And he's making a truckload of money every time he shows up. And he's gone, I'm going to be the main event. I'm going to make a ton of money. I might as well have a good time. And I think just being in that mindset has got him nailing the promo work. He is so much fun to watch at the moment.
Who'd have thought the best world champion cowboy was going to be Brock Lesnar? Right.
I was going to say that if you had told me 12 months ago that I would be, or 24 months ago or 36 months ago, if you'd told me you're going to be so excited to watch Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar in the main event of WrestleMania for the title, I would never have believed you.
Mate, not even that. It wasn't even 6 months ago on here. You were talking about you didn't care.
Yep.
You went on a whole diatribe about it.
I went on a rant and I said that, you know, I said, I don't care about Brock Lesnar. I don't want to see this match. I'm so ready to be disappointed by the match is the thing. Because we've seen it before. We've said they're not going to have a different match. It's going to be the same match again, right? But it's the same as the Royal Rumble. I know I'm going to be disappointed by it, but I've got the hope right now that it pays off what they're showing us that it might be. So we mentioned the Stone Cold. The fact that Owens has said it is main eventing night one of WrestleMania, Owens is wrestling, right? He's not coming out for the cheap pop because he's done that before. And he's done that alongside Foley and Michaels. So like, Austin. Yeah. It wouldn't even be the biggest version of the, hey, Austin's here. He's doing a stunner pop. So why are they making it the main event?
Look,
I don't know if the match happens night one or night two. I think he's wrestling KO.
I think the biggest telltale sign of that was in Austin's promo himself. Whereas I can call it a segment, you call it, I'm just going to go out there and kick his ass. It's a fight. So to me, that tells me that's like, he's going out there to have a match. So, and like there was all these people going, oh, he can't because of his neck. Like he never said that he said he couldn't do full time anymore. He said he could do one more match if it was at the right thing with the right time. Like, you know what I mean? It was the right time with the right opponent. Kevin Owens has been using that stunner for the last couple of years. If that doesn't say that's the right opponent for you, and someone who he's admittedly said that he likes Kevin Owens. So I think it's
someone who seems insanely safe to work with.
Yeah, not a match, but definitely a match, a fight. That's right.
A fight, and that's the thing is, you know, he doesn't have to be out there doing 18 Luthes presses and, you know, bleeding in a sharpshooter. Right, he can have a brawl and it'll be great. Yeah.
And if he hits his signatures, like you said, if he hits the Thez press, if he hits the elbow off the second, that thing, and the stunner, fans are going to be popping.
Oh yeah, massive.
So the one thing I will say I am a little bit shocked at is that they've loaded up both the women's titles on night one. I would have thought they would have spread that across the two nights, but yeah.
Yeah, that was my instinct. It does change the math when you've only got one of the men's heavyweight titles on the line.
True,
they're doing the unification match, because normally you have one men's title, one women's title each night. When you've only got one men's title, suddenly the math doesn't work if you want to even up the nights.
Mm. But also you've got we've got two nights worth of WrestleMania here. Intercontinental and the US aren't being defended.
Which is ridiculous.
Considering
who you've got as champions. But not only that, we're getting Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin again. We're getting Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland for no real reason. We're going to have to sit through Logan Paul. And again, this is just the night one stuff. So there's stuff that I am not excited for that doesn't seem like a WrestleMania match. Whereas you could, you know, get Ricochet and literally anyone and say, hey, go pull off your high spots and make WrestleMania moments left, right, and center. Anyway, that's a little rant there. But yeah, when it comes to these women's titles matches, I am super excited for Lynch and Belair, because we've seen what Bianca Belair can do main eventing a WrestleMania, having a killer match. We know that Becky shines in the main event. She makes things feel big. This promo has been great. We just had Bianca Belair chopping some of Lynch's hair off. So clearly she's into it. She's willing to have her hair cut for it. I think that match is going to be brilliant.
And it's also
Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey, which I could not care less about.
And it's also a payoff from SummerSlam.
They've been building this match for 6 months, right?
Yeah, on and off. I'm not going to go out and say yes every week. It was something like that. No. But they left it and they came back to it and they left it and they came. If anything, they were sort of like, they just kept Bianca on the burner going, just stay there, simmer. Now let's go. And it's one of the matches that is going to be a highlight for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, WrestleMania across two nights is so big that they have to take a break in the middle. We have to do exactly the same. While we're taking a break, you know what you can do? You can jump onto Facebook and follow us at Wrestle Radio Australia. Over on Twitter and Instagram, we're at Wrestle Radio AU. Make sure you follow those socials, keep up with what's going on. And you can listen to all of the great things we put out, like the interview that Todd did with WrestleBrania last week that was fantastic. Or maybe a little piece that I've got coming up with someone who's going to be on the WrestleMania card. So keep your ears out for that. But stick around here, because we're about to talk about Night 2 of WrestleMania right after this.
This is the Bro Day Pod. I feel like a crocodile has like the bite force and the rip and tear, but I feel like a shark and way mole. Too much teeth, man. Wait, way too many teeth. Too much teeth. Yeah. Too many teeth. Like, just bite, just tear flesh out of it. If it's a great white as well, I feel like a shark's got it.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
If I'm in there, I could choke out a shark.
Oh my God, what is this?
You turn into
is that all this podcast is? This podcast is just to prove, no, just for you to convince the world that you can fight every animal. Oh, I'm so heated now.
Shut up. It's a triple threat.
Who's taking the pin? If it's a triple threat?
I'll be the crocodile first.
And then it's an elimination. You're taking them both out. Nah, bro. came out of nowhere. Dead set. At any point, all you want to do is prove you can fight animals. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. Go to the next one.
Okay.
Follow Brode No Plan B podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, or anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Making Chicken Salad, where we are talking about everything that's coming up this WrestleMania weekend. Let's keep going straight on to WrestleMania Night 2. The Raw Tag Team Championships are going to be defended by RK-Bro in a triple threat match against the Street Profits and Alpha Academy. The WWE Women's Tag Team Championships are going to be on the line with Queen Zelina and Carmella defending against the teams of Sasha Banks and Naomi, Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, and Natalya and Shayna Baszler. There's going to be an Anything Goes match between Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville. We've got Austin Theory taking on Pat McAfee, Bobby Lashley taking on Omos, Edge versus AJ Styles, and the main event, the winner-take-all championship unification match, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for both the WWE and Universal Championships. That's a huge match. We've already spoken about it. It's the thing that is on the marquee. What other matches in Night 2 are really exciting you, Todd?
Well, you got to say Edge, AJ. That's just one that you
it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's just a thing. Aside from that, like the sleeper is the tag championships match. RK-Bro, Street Profits, Alpha Academy. If all you're doing is taking out Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens and putting in Street Profits, and you're going to have that sort of same match that was on that Raw, that's a great WrestleMania match. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, and we've talked, I know at least I've talked about how great I think Street Profits are, how great I think Alpha Academy are. RK-Bro, you know, I've got mixed opinions, but those are both guys that when they turn it on, it's great. And WrestleMania is the perfect opportunity for that. That should be awesome. Now, here is my little complaint. I want to talk about the Women's Tag Team Championships and compare them to the Raw Tag Team Championships. What's the difference in the tag team names here, Todd? Can you pick it out?
Yeah, there are no tag team names.
There are no tag team names for the women's tag team titles because none of them are tag teams. They are two singles women who have been thrown together, eight of them. Four times they've just gone, oh, you two can be a tag team. I find it so frustrating when, you know, you look at the male tag team scene, RK-Bro versus Street Profits and Alpha Academy, those are teams. They have gear for their team. They're doing tag team entrances, whereas these are going to be just collections of whatever women need to get on the show. Which, yeah, when there's people like Sasha Banks, Naomi, Rhea Ripley, Shayna Baszler, these are people that I would love to see having main event WrestleMania spots, you know? So I think that in a way that's really disappointing, but in another way it could lead to a really exceptional match if all of those women are out to prove that they should be having one-on-one matches. It could be.
But it's also the fact that, like you said, you're trying to get them on the show. There's only so many matches you can have on a show. They had to split into two nights to have what they've got now, and both nights are probably going to go for bloody 3 to 4 hours. So, I mean, at least they're getting on. Do you know what I mean? At least they're getting a
run. Sure, but if that's the argument, then why have we gotten rid of the armbar and the ovary cup?
The boobet?
The Andre Battle Royale and the Women's Battle Royale with the Cervix Championship.
Because, well, I think they're doing them on SmackDown this week.
Are they?
Yeah, I think, well, I know the Andre the Giant Battle Royal is on SmackDown this week.
Sure, and again, that's just me, you know, not having internet enough to keep up and missing this stuff, but I thought the whole point of those matches was to get people on Mania.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a different animal now, because back then, when they first started the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, you had to get on Mania to get your Mania payday. There isn't that now because there's not pay-per-view buys. That's when it was done, it was all done because, like, you get on there, you get your mania check, which is a nice little bump to what your normal pay is. Now they're getting paid more. Well
then do they need more to get these women on the card?
Well, they don't, but it's always nice to be on WrestleMania.
Of course it's nice to be on WrestleMania, but this is
it's always nice to be on Mania, mate. Come on.
This is the argument, Todd, is if
don't knock my mate off WrestleMania, on, will you? Jesus.
No, I want Rhea Ripley to be on WrestleMania. Don't get me wrong here. If the argument is, well, we want all these people to be on Mania, give them a battle royal. That's what that was for, right?
Yeah. No, that's fair enough.
If you're going to have women's tag team championships, have women's tag teams and have a feud for the tag team championships. Don't go throw these eight women into a big cluster mess and have them fight. It's a pet peeve of mine. No, I want tag team titles to be for tag teams.
Yep. I completely agree. But yeah, weren't Sasha and Naomi a tag team back in the day? Or like Team Bad or something?
Part of Team Bad, yeah.
Yeah,
so
there you go. So there you go, it's a tag team. I mean, come on, mate. Just because they're not listed as Kofi and Xavier.
And they're missing Tamina. That's true. What do you reckon of this Anything Goes match with Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn?
I don't know how seriously Johnny Knoxville's been taking it, to be honest with you.
He was
like
pretty
training
good
wise
in the Rumble.
Yeah, but that was two little bits or whatever it was. It wasn't that long, not an extended period. I'm more interested like with that, like if we're talking that sort of frame of things, how Pat McAfee is going to go with Austin Theory, because Austin Theory isn't Adam Cole.
He's not. I think Austin Theory is very good. But you're right, he's not Adam Cole. But at the same time, Pat McAfee, Adam Cole was insanely good. I think, you know, it's not like McAfee
but how much of that
fully
was
carried.
Yeah, but how much of that was Adam Cole? Do you know what I mean? Well, I guess we'll find out watching Mania.
I agree, but I also don't think that McAfee Theory has to be as good as McAfee Cole.
No.
Right? If you're talking about NXT TakeOver, there's an expectation, or there was an expectation under the Black and Gold brand, that those were going to be extremely high quality matches. Austin Theory and Pat McAfee is going to be on the same night as Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville, which again, I think is going to be fun. It's going to come a night after, you know, a tag team match that includes Logan Paul. Celebrities are on Mania. Snooki wrestled a WrestleMania match. It doesn't have to be good, right? And yeah. I think McAfee's going to be okay. I just quickly want to say for the Knoxville-Zayn match, I am curious to see exactly how many of the Jackass crew interfere and exactly how many stunts they throw in. Is there going to be a giant hand slapping Sami Zayn? I think so.
Yeah, there has to be somewhere. So. Just the fact that they made it an Anything Goes match and not just a straight one pinfall.
Yeah,
scheduled
exactly.
for one fall.
I was excited for Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar a few months ago, and it did not quite live up to the hype. Is that fair to say, Todd?
Yeah, that's fair.
So now Bobby Lashley is taking on Omos.
We're about to see how good Bobby Lashley is, Jedron.
Yeah, man, I mean... I guess you got to have one stinker to make the rest of the show look good, maybe. I am expecting less than nothing.
It's going to be big, meaty men slapping meat.
Slapping meat.
And I guess, like, honestly, if Big E wasn't injured, that's where I would have liked to see him. I would have liked to see Bobby and Big E again, because that's big men slapping meat. That would have been a really good match. Omos is, as Jim Cornette would say, is as green as a pepper tree. But we'll see, like, the beauty of it is they probably won't have to do much.
It's true.
They're big guys. They'll waste the first 5 minutes just trying to take Omos off his feet. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. We'll see how good Bobby is.
And look, we've already talked about Edge versus AJ Styles should just be good. Two great workers who know what to do on a big stage.
And talk about turning your stuff around for Edge, like from being like the month before diehard babyface that everyone loved into just this mean, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Am I able to say that I hate the new music? I think I hate the new music.
I can't remember the new music, to be honest with you.
It's absolutely nothing. But look, that's night two of WrestleMania. That's the whole WrestleMania card, and it's going to be huge. So that is, as we're recording in Australia, it is going to be on Sunday and Monday mornings from about 10 a.m. So expect that we will be back probably a day or two after that talking about what's happened.
Maybe in June.
Yeah, you know, the way things are going. In the lead up to next Royal Rumble, we're going to talk about how WrestleMania went. But let's move away from WWE quickly and talk about Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor. Now, we didn't get a chance to talk about the purchase of Ring of Honor by AEW. It's going to be very interesting in the near future to see what happens.
AEW didn't buy it. Tony bought it. They're two separate companies.
Tony bought it.
This is the distinction that people aren't making, because they just think that, all our AEW contracted people will just go over onto that. They would have to do different contracts if they're going to do, well, I would imagine, because it's not the same parent company. They're two different companies.
Yeah. So you are, thank you for picking me up there. Tony Khan now owns Ring of Honor. It's going to make it interesting. So we've got the Supercard of Honor lineup updated to the minute. Is Jay Lethal versus Lee Moriarty with Matt Sydal. We've got Swerve, Shane Strickland versus Alex Zane. We've got an interim Ring of Honor Women's World Championship match between Willow Nightingale and Mercedes Martinez. The Pure Championship is going to be on the line between Josh Woods and Wheeler Yuta. The Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, the Briscoes, are defending against FTR. And there's a winner-take-all match to determine the undisputed Ring of Honor World Champion. That's between Jonathan Gresham and Bandido. What a card.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'll be honest with you. I don't like the fact that Sydal's there with Moriarty. I just don't. That's not ROH to me. That's they're together in AEW. Don't put them together there. Just let Moriarty and Lethal go. That's all I will say with that. Woods in when Wheeler Yuta. Look, you could have put someone else against Josh Woods. Aside from Wheeler Yuta, I know that they've obviously got some plans for him. They're slowly moving him away from best friends, and I think maybe towards the Blackpool
Fight Club,
it's something like that. Yeah, I think they're slowly starting to do that. But look, when you've got other guys on your card or on your roster, like you could have put Danielson and Woods, or do you know what I mean, or something like that, which that would have been massive. And there we go. Yes, but like I would think Woods against a Wheeler Yuta, that's, to me, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, well, Woods is going to win that. I don't see Yuta as a contender for something like the pure title. If you're an ROH fan, you don't think of Wheeler Yuta when you think of pure champion.
No, I am. Look, I like Yuta a lot. I've liked him since he was on that weird Wrestle Dojo show. I think he's really, really good. And I think he's still pretty underrated for what he can do. I don't see him taking the pure championship off Josh Woods. That's not the way that's going to work. I want to point out Shane Strickland, I think, I know that he came over to AEW. He is a guy that I've been pointing to since the Lucha Underground days as being unbelievable. I think he is so good. If you haven't watched Hell of War, that was him against AR Fox, just go watch it already. You're missing out. So against Alex Zane, I mean, that should be a crushing match. That should be so good. Now, I'll let you have a moment to celebrate this one, Todd. Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships, the Briscoes against FTR.
Yes, wow. I mean, if you've been looking at or watching some of the news sort of things, you know that was never going to happen in AEW, because there is a Turner executive that refuses to have the Briscoes on their network. So that'll never, like, I'm sorry to break this to you guys, that's never going to happen in AEW. This is possibly the best outcome we could have got, because otherwise this probably would have been on a GCW show. Like, but just seeing those two, and hopefully they're allowed to take the handcuffs off and just go for it, because I want to see it. I really want to see it. Do you know who Willow Nightingale is? Because I don't. I'm sorry. I don't know who she is.
Yeah, she's someone who's been doing a lot of good work in MLW recently. She's a bigger person, a little bit of a hoss style to her. Not nearly as much as Mercedes Martinez, but as far as like a women's world championship match goes, that should be a hard hitter. I think that Willow is on track to being very good. And there's careful wording in what I'm saying there,
yeah,
because I really like her work. I don't know that she is quite there yet. I don't see that one not going to Martinez.
But if you've got, because they've got a lot of women under contract,
yeah,
for AEW, that they can say, look, we'll give you another payday. Please work this Ring of Honor card. Why wouldn't you do a Ruby Soho or a, do you know what I mean? Something like that, that where they could have.
I think there's that line of
speaking of her,
exactly
like
what you said.
Is she in a milk carton?
Differentiate. Yeah, no, she's gone. She's not doing anything, it seems. But I agree. I think that they're trying to differentiate the rosters, right? They don't want someone who looks like an AEW person or even looks like a WWE person, I guess, in Ruby's case, to be taking that spot. Personally, I would have loved to see maybe Serena Deeb in that spot. I know, yep, that I keep banging that drum. I really like Serena Deeb. I really like her work. If it's someone,
well, what happened with what's her name doing that bloody she was doing that 5-minute challenge every week, and now that she hasn't been on TV for a while either. People are listening to it are screaming.
People are screaming.
She called herself Nyla? The Profession. No, not Nyla. She was doing the 5-minute challenge on Rampage every week. She was an NWA Women's Champion, possibly one of the better.
Name isn't in my head at the moment.
Okay, keep screaming at
the podcast, guys. We'll get it. look, Leva Bates. If you're gonna have someone lose, just like put Leva Bates in there because she is great at making people look excellent. This is people, I still think there's people out there who don't remember her doing the blue pants thing with the what were they called? The black.
Oh, Serena Deeb. It was Serena Deeb.
It was Serena Deeb doing it?
That's who it was.
See, I had just said Serena Deeb. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I know.
There you go. Me banging my Serena Deeb drum again. You've thrown me off my rhythm, Todd.
I'm sorry.
Like, I think that now help me remember what those guys were called. The Vaudevillains. Remember when Blue Pants was there? It was great fun. Leva Bates has got so much good work in her, and this librarian gimmick sucks farts.
Well, I don't think she even does that anymore. I think she's just, I don't know what she is. I never see her on TV. So
she's still the librarian in all the backstage stuff.
Like BTE,
Just have Leva Bates be the cosplayer who's going to beat your ass. I could complain about what they're not doing with women's wrestling all day. So let's not. Let's talk about how good Gresham versus Bandido is going to be.
Yeah, that's... And there's two guys. I don't know if Gresham signed or not, but that's two guys that aren't signed at all to AEW or to Tony. So it's going to be interesting. Be interesting to see which way they go with it. In my heart, I want them to go with Gresham.
I feel that they're going to go with Gresham. I think that Bandido had an incredible run for them at a time when it was hard to be champion. But I think Gresham is the guy they want ROH to look like right now.
Do you know, and I'm just, because I'm looking at this card and I'm just thinking, why wouldn't you do ROH, pure champion Josh Woods, issues an open challenge and then throw a whole bunch of cash at Samoa Joe? Why wouldn't have you done that?
I'm going to need to take some deep breaths for a minute, Todd.
Because I'm just looking at it and going, why wouldn't you just do that instead of Wheeler Yuta? And this is no disrespect to Wheeler Yuta. I'm just saying, And I know that they put a good card on for this show, but TNT or TBS or whoever, TNT, wherever, because it's running up against Rampage.
Sorry, I'm just still reacting to that and imagining Josh Woods versus Samoa Joe for the Pure Championship. Oh, boy.
Especially since they're like inducting him in the Hall of Fame that weekend, the ROH Hall of Fame. Like him, the Briscoes, Brent Danielson. That's what I mean. They're all going to be there.
Briscoes, I'm wondering Danielson. If maybe Yuta loses, Woods claims that no one can stand in the ring with him for the Pure Championship, and Joe comes out and says, next ROH show, it's on.
Mm. Well, or whoever wins out of Gresham and Bandido have them do that.
That sounds as good as eating some delicious chicken salad, Todd. So let's move on. Chicken salad, chicken shit. We're going to talk about what moments we loved from the past little while of wrestling and what we didn't love. Todd, let's start with the negative. Get it out of the way. Chicken shit. What do you hate?
I'm trying to think. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't even preparing for this one.
I can take over if you'd like.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
When it was coming to the recording, like 10 minutes before we started, I thought, oh, I got to come up with something for chicken shit. And because I haven't really had internet, I haven't been watching wrestling. So I'm like, oh, there's nothing from wrestling that I disliked. And then I thought for another 30 seconds and came up with about a dozen things. So let's fire off a
couple. Wind him up. Let's go.
Let's go. Let him rip. The first one I'm going to mention is Control Your Narrative, I think, is looking like a steaming pile of turds that I am ready to crap all over. It's just people who want to complain about wrestling not being real wrestling because men aren't real men and everyone's a liberal wuss and go out and put on the worst wrestling show you've ever seen. Look, I'm sure there'll be a couple of fine matches on it. I have no interest in it. Another one, slightly different. Big E getting injured. Ooh, ow, that hurt my heart. I think that maybe it's one of the best things that could have happened to E because it gives us the chance for, I don't know how long his recovery is, but maybe he shows up as, and this is giving him a long recovery time, if he's a surprise entrant in the Rumble and wins and says, hey, last time you saw me, basically I was WWE champion, I want it back. That'd be incredible. But seeing him in a nothing match get his neck broken was heartbreaking to me. I am glad to see that he is able to stand and work that booty. But, you know, we'll keep an eye on it. But the one I want to focus on today, what I think is my chicken shit a few months in the running, one word, Butch. Oh. Now, we've complained about name and gimmick changes before. I had my little rant about Gunther when that happened not all that long ago. And I kind of felt like, you know what? It's WWE. They're going to change gimmicks, whatever. But to establish someone so strongly, to have them be one of your longest reigning champions in WWE history under a name, and then erase that name and pretend it never happened because this is an entirely new person who wears a little newsies cap and doesn't break people's fingers. This is Butch. It's stupid.
Have you watched it though?
I've seen clips. And I think that he is phenomenal and he will get over whatever you give him. I think that he is like Dusty Rhodes wearing polka dots. How could anyone get over with it? Oh, look, he just did. I think he's, you know, so talented, and I won't be surprised at all when he's the biggest thing in wrestling as Butch. But to put him in a stable with under Sheamus and Ridge Holland and call him Butch and put him in that little Peaky Blinders outfit, man, it will not surprise me at all if he doesn't renew his contract and we see him go back and decide he's going to make Progress the biggest thing in the world, or if we see him go to AEW and, you know, try and become world champion there, because for someone so young with so much potential, I don't think Butch is doing him any favors.
Mm.
Whew, that's a lot of chicken shit to get out.
Are you good now, brother?
I'm feeling much better now, Todd. Mm. Okay, much less gassy.
I've got a couple, and surprisingly, they are AEWs. Look, I
but you love that Danhausen, right, Todd?
I love that Danhausen. I don't like the whole Jericho Appreciation Society. Like, I understand that you want to do it, but I just wanted Red Death to be with Punk, not Punk, to be with Daniel and Moxley. Those guys would have fit. Those guys, more than Wheeler Yuta, Daniel Garcia would have fit with that group. He's got that mindset and that look. It's like this Jericho Appreciation, and I can see what Jericho's doing with the whole we're sports entertainers, because I know that's the one thing the AEW fans hate, that's the word sports entertainment. That's something that Garcia didn't need. Garcia could have been easily in that, like, that you look at that group and he's the one that sticks out like a sore thumb. I don't like the fact that now that I know that they do it on their blog and all that, that they've put Sammy Guevara and Tay Conti together for that whole thing with Dan Lambert. And I know it's obviously to give Paige VanSant a match with, like, a tag match against, like, it'll probably be Ethan Page and Paige VanSant against Tay and Sammy. But also just bringing out the whole thing about the belt and what they did with the belt, wearing the belt and all of that sort of thing. It's like, you've got a guy in Sammy Guevara who was on fire. When he won that TNT title, he was, and both times they took his legs out when it comes to title runs, really, to give it the Scorpio Sky. And I mean, I know it's very early, but is Scorpio really setting the world on fire when it comes to this run? It's sort of like, I don't see Adam Page setting the world on fire, Todd, either.
It feels like they were trying to build Scorpio and then they stopped and then they started again and then they stopped.
Mm.
What's going on?
It's the same with Sammy. They did the same with Sammy. Let's build him. Bang. He's amazingly popular. Cool. Let's give him the belt. Wow. They're really loving it. Let's take the belt off him to Cody. Oh, no, we'll give it back to him in that massive match, because then people will forget what happened before, because he won it in that massive match. What's that 3 weeks later? Oh, we're going to give it to Scorpio Sky now. Why? Because we want Scorpio Sky to have it. I don't know if this has got anything to do with the whole Big Swole thing where she was saying that these people weren't, like, that the people of color weren't being represented enough. I don't want to throw that out there. But, I mean, I don't know why in any world you would take the belt off Sammy Guevara yet, unless you were priming him to go for the bigger title. And it's too soon for that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get positive, Todd. Chicken salad?
Always FTR. Always FTR. The stuff that they've been doing everywhere has been great. Because chicken shitted about AEW, I'm going to chicken salad about AEW. Everything with Punk and MJF was amazing. Like, at the end, that match was really good. The whole payoff with turning Wardlow, so now they've moved off into a thing. And it's the only way they could have done it and have people not want to see Punk and MJF keep going at each other was to do the whole turn with Wardlow. Also, it's stuff that it's not being seen a lot, like you're not seeing a hell of a lot of it, is, and I'm blanking on his name at the moment, so it's Keith Lee and Powerhouse Hobbs. That stuff on Rampage and the Team Taz sort of thing, I've actually been really enjoying, because I think Powerhouse Hobbs has got money written all over him. He's just got to get some seasoning in, get a couple of seasons under his belt, as JR would say. But yeah, that dude has... Yeah. I don't like the whole thing with Wheeler Yuta, only because I don't see that in Wheeler Yuta. Like, with the Blackpool, what was it called?
Combat Club.
Blackpool Combat Club. I don't see him fitting in that. Do you know what I mean?
Devil's advocate, I don't think at the moment he's meant to fit. I think they see in Wheeler, Utah, a big future. And I think they're saying, if you want three people to learn from, here's Moxley, here's Danielson, and here's, how am I blanking on
William
my
Regal.
Favorite GM? Regal, thank you. You know, like, talk about guys you can learn from. Like, I think that they see a future in him growing from being in that stable rather than him being a perfect fit for that stable right now.
Do you know which two guys I put in it if it's me with the book?
Go ahead, Todd.
I've already mentioned Daniel Garcia. The number one content, the number one person for me, and Brian Pillman Jr. I have Brian Pillman turn on Griff Garrison because he's been holding him back and keeping him mediocre for the longest time. Instead of doing this whole Julia Hart slow turn to being with the House of Black, I would put Brian Pillman Jr. in that group, because if you can bring out a harder edge of Brian Pillman Jr., again, that's another powerhouse Hobbs. Kid's got money written all over him.
For me, and again, I'm just going to play off that, who I would like to see join Blackpool Combat Club is, if you want to play off the history of Danielson and Mox in AEW, and you've got a stable that is all about being straight up fighters, it's Eddie Kingston, right? Mm. It plays off the history that he's had with both those other guys. The thing is, I think that we know that Regal is the talker there, and Kingston's whole thing is talking.
Yeah, but it's also age. Like, you want young guys. You don't want, like, no offense to him, not a young dude.
No.
Like, and he is established. They don't need established guys. You've got three of the most established guys in professional wrestling already in that group. One is the manager, and two is, like, the leaders of the group. You say you're Flair and Arns, if we're going to talk Four Horsemen type deal. So you want a couple of, like, young guys you can bring up. You want a Barry Windham. I hasten to say it, Lex Luger. You want a young guy, not a Paul Roma, never a Paul Roma, but you want a you want those young guys that can, A, get the rub off those two, and B, have that potential that in 5-10 years will be in the position that Moxley and Danielson are now. Do you know what I mean? And for guys like, I see a Daniel Garcia being able to do that. I see a Brian Pillman being able to do that. I see Eddie Kingston retired by then. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, that's fair. So what you're saying is they should send Hook into that faction.
I don't know what you do with Hook, to be honest with you. Like, I love the presentation. I love what they've been doing with him. But at the moment, it sort of feels like he's just treading water now.
Yep.
Like, how many times do they just come out and do the same thing now with bloody, what's his name? Marshall, QT. Every meet is something different with QT Marshall. And it's like, it's not... These guys like QT are supposed to be enhancement workers. They're not supposed to drag the person down. And that's what I feel like is been happening over the last X amount of weeks. I mean, you got a guy that's with QT Marshall in Aaron Solo, who could be that's another guy that could be really good in something like the Blackpool Combat Club. Because he's a really good worker. He is a Fale Dojo trained worker as well. So knows that New Japan style that Bryan Danielson can do as well. I just feel that he's not being utilized at the moment.
All right. That was a fun way to pivot that chicken salad into complaints there, Todd. But I'm
sorry. I apologize.
No, let's brighten it up. I got a couple of chicken salads. And again, I'm going to focus on AEW. You mentioned the work between Punk and MJF. I know that it's not exciting or sexy to say that MJF is a good promo, but man, MJF's a good promo. Where he cut a face promo about being picked on as a kid for being Jewish, and like really like tapped into what was good about the pipe bomb to come up against CM Punk, the realness and rawness of making everyone go, how much is this made up for the story? How much is this real feelings that he's feeling? That was really, really exceptional. And also plants seeds for a future that we're not going to see for a while. I think that there is maybe 3 or 4 years away we see a face turn, maybe. And those seeds are there ready to be harvested. But it's not going to happen soon. So I love that. Another thing that I love about that AEW show was I love a thematic wrestling show. And that was a show about handshakes. That's so good to me. When you build a show around an idea like that, it makes everything feel cohesive. It makes it feel like its own little world. It makes it feel like I'm watching one thing rather than a bunch of interconnected matches. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And seeing Regal come out and form Blackpool Combat Club, I am super excited about. I'm super excited to see where that goes.
That's one thing. As much as we give WWE shit about, they run themes through their show. Like that, I think it was the Raw a few weeks ago where it was like the whole theme of the show was like Seth Rollins wanting to get a WrestleMania match. And then they moved it into the next week because, I couldn't get it this way. I'm going to try it this way. You don't really see that much in AEW where you see something at the start of the show and it gets paid off at the end of the show. You don't, like you said, it's sort of like, okay, this is this part of it. Okay, now here's this part. Now here's this part. Whereas with that, like, he does his promo at the start, then there's like little interconnected promos. And then especially that stuff he did, and like we'll go into another chicken, the stuff he did with him and Kevin Owens, when he just decided to try and muscle in and take the Austin thing off.
Yeah.
I just love Kevin's reaction too. What? No, 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 no. Like just the way he just, I love that. And also last week, because we haven't been on for a while, the whole Kevin Owens dressing up like Stone Cold. That was really, really good. Just the fact that they did the glass shatter and they lost their fucking mind and he did the promo and then the glass shattered again. And normally that means that guy is coming out. So they lost their minds even more. Just the timing of it, I thought, was so very, very good.
Yeah, flashbacks to Michaels in Montreal playing the heart music. Like, just brilliant stuff. Yeah, absolutely agree with you there. Look, there's lots of things to really love in the world of wrestling at the moment. And if you want to hear about them, one of the best places you can do that is right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. So make sure you're staying up to date. Follow us on Facebook, search for Wrestle Radio Australia. On Twitter and Instagram, we're at Wrestle Radio AU. You can follow me on Twitter at Lachlan Albert. You can follow Todd on Twitter at Beast Eastman. By the way, make sure you're following us. You can follow us on Stitcher, on Apple Podcasts, on YouTube, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can subscribe. If you're on Apple Podcasts, it's huge if you can give us a rating and review. 5 stars makes a massive difference, gets us into more ears, is super helpful. We don't make any money off this podcast either, so getting us into more ears doesn't like benefit us. But what you can do is if you've got a little bit of extra cash and you want to support the show, we do have merch over on Redbubble. If you search for Wrestle Radio Australia there, you'll find some merch. The money that comes from that goes to amazing charities, Gotcha for Life and Beyond Blue, that do awesome work for mental health, especially men's mental health here in Australia. Really, really great organizations there. Have I missed anything, Todd?
No, that's about it. I mean, if you want to go and buy some top tier shirts, you can go and do that. They'll support the
top
boys.
Tier.
They don't actually. That's not going to charity because those boys aren't a charity. Trust me. I just want to like say off the bat that I'm really happy to be working with these guys because all three of them are like under. I know it's a gimmick we say with their top tier. They are three of the best workers going around Queensland at the moment. It seems to me at the moment now that everyone in Queensland is starting to open up and realize how good Mitch Ryder is going to be. And for me, it's the same with Tim Hayden and Seb Matters. Tim Hayden, oodles of talent. Like I knew he was good, but I didn't realize how how good he was until I've actually started working with him and talking with him and hearing his thought process about wrestling and all of that sort of stuff. I've become more of a fan since I've started working with him than I was before. These three guys, yeah, the country that at their feet, they, I really hope that other states, other promotions around the country do look and see what they're doing up here and give them a chance down there, because they won't let you down, put it that way.
I'll come out and say, this past weekend I bought a ticket to a wrestling show because I saw Mitch Ryder was in the title match, and I went, oh, that's going to be a banger, it's worth seeing.
And then I ruined it.
And then Todd ruined it, as always. Yeah, look, I'm thrilled to watch those guys. I think that they're so great. So I'm backing up everything Todd says there from the perspective of a fan. If you're in Queensland, make sure you catch Tim Hayden, Seb Matters, Mitch Ryder. If you are booking around the country, get a hold of those guys because they're just the best. But I'm, you know, mostly thrilled to be back working with you, Todd, doing the podcast and getting in amongst it, talking the world of wrestling. So we'll be doing this again soon, probably right after WrestleMania. So if you want to catch that, make sure you are subscribed. And until then, from Todd Eastman, I'm Lachlan Albert. Have a good one.
Happy anniversary, Miss.